I regularly ask potential coaching clients, what do you want? Sometimes they'll say something along the lines of, I'm too scared to say it out loud. What if it doesn't come true? When they finally share their secret desire with me, it sometimes includes walking the stage at their company convention. Then I'm able to let them know that I have a process to make that happen. I've used it myself and with many other leaders to get them into the top 10. I'm working to become more efficient, so I created a guide called 5 Ways to Get in the Top 10 so I could share it with them after the complimentary coaching session. Recently, I realized I didn't have to wait until someone booked a complimentary coaching session with me. I could share it with way more people if I just put it on my website and pointed more people to it. So, if you'd like to know the 5 steps to get into the top 10 at your company, go to badassdirectsalesmastery.com/top-10, and that's T-E-N spelled out. And I'll send you the guide so you can start the process.
Welcome to the Badass Direct Sales Mastery Podcast with your direct sales dom, Jenny Bellinger. Badass Direct Sales Mastery is a podcast for rock star direct sales moms who are determined to make their business kick ass. Jenny will share her knowledge of effective sales and recruiting techniques, tips to get what you want from your business, and will interview direct sales professionals and leaders from various companies. The interviews will give insight to how these rock stars got to where they are and where they plan to grow in the future. And now, the direct sales dom, Jenny Bellinger.
Welcome back to another episode of Badass Direct Sales Mastery. I'm your host, your direct sales dom, Jenny Bellinger, helping you whip your business into shape. And today I have with me, guys, I know I say that I'm excited a lot, but you do not even know how excited I am to have Laura Lake here with us today. And the reason being is because she and I connected through a virtual summit that I did with Michael Whitehouse a couple of years ago. The Entrepreneur Summit. You've probably seen me posting about it and promoting it. And she shows up in full-on cosplay and throughout the 6 hours changes into like 4 or 5 different cosplays.
Yeah,
I was like, she is my tribe. She is my people. She is fun. And we have since connected on so many other levels. In fact, we even own the same corset.
We do. I thought about wearing it today and then it's packed in the closet at the moment. So,
well, you just moved. So that's totally fair. I definitely understood that. So because you guys now know how much I already adore and love Laura, let me give you a little bit of her history and we'll dig into the conversation with her. Laura Lake has spoken at Harvard University, is a 2-time number 1 international best-selling author. And she is the host of Blue Talks, Amplify Your Message. And she's currently writing her TED Talk called The Good Day Cookie. Oh, I can't wait to see you do that. That's so exciting for you.
It's so okay. Cute.
All right, y'all. I did not know this about you, Laura. After almost dying 7 times, y'all. Laura passionately studied holistic health with a focus on mental health and human connection. She mindfully combines well-being, high performance, marketing, and storytelling into events like the Solopreneur Conference, talks like The 4 Ways We Fail, and concepts like creating versus finding clients. She likes to describe herself as a playful luminary change maker who likes hiking, deep conversations, and nerdy cosplay. And here's the thing. Mess to message style solopreneurs hire Laura to help them elevate their stories so they can create clients and inspire change through courageous connection. So, welcome to the show.
Needed to grab a prop.
You got to have a prop. Absolutely. Welcome to the show, Laura.
I know we've been trying to do this what seems like forever. So I am actually really excited to be here and with you because I remember being the one that told you, hey, Coach Jenny, did you know that your podcast is in the top 2% of all podcasts?
No, I did not, but I do now.
No, you know now. She's badass. Follow her. Get your friends to follow her.
Yeah.
You never know where you're going to be next.
Exactly. Exactly. And I thank you so much for that, because it's so interesting. All of the accolades that my podcast has gotten, it's because someone else introduced me to, did you know that you're on this? With the exception, there was one thing that I found by accident, which was I was looking to get on other direct sales podcasts. So I went to Google and I typed in a thing that was like, you know, top direct sales podcasts. And I found a link through, I think it's called FeedSpot, that listed the top 10 direct sales podcasts. And I'm scrolling through the list going, oh, that's cool. Okay, I haven't heard of that one. I'll find a way to reach out to them and da-da-da. And there in number 3 spot was my show.
Nice.
And I was like, I did not expect to see my show on the list. It's not like I was going, God, I hope I'm on the list. It didn't even occur to me that mine would be in the top 10. And there I was in the top 10 for 2023. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I need to go look and see if they've updated the list, because it's yes. March now for 2024. So we need to see. But anyway, enough about me. This is not about me.
I want to add to that just a little bit. Because, okay, this will be about me. But when I was trying to fill out the form for you to just let you know all the podcasts I've been on, lot. So then I Googled Laura Lake podcasts, hoping that, you know, somebody had posted it on their page, and I'll just click on all the different pages. I found a website that listed my top 8 podcasts that I've been on. And I'm like, wait, somebody put me in a list, made my top 8 in.
That's so super now, cool. Like,
I took screenshots. I have a post all created. It up soon, because I'm like, look, there's a couple that aren't mine. There's an author, an actress, and a marketing expert, all with my name. But guess who had most of those podcasts? There was 2 on the list of 10 that weren't mine. The rest of them were mine. And I was like, I feel like a celebrity right now.
That's amazing. I love that. So
now
so
I'm
going
to look up your name. I'll send you the link.
Well, you know what you... Yeah, please send that to me, because I know about using Listen Notes, which is where you found that I'm in the top 2%. But you can go in there and just search for your own name on Listen Notes, and it'll list every podcast that your name has ever appeared, either in the title or in the show notes. So I know that. But for me, of course, that list is 250 episodes of my show. Yeah. Plus all the other shows I've been on, which now tops probably 100 or 150 shows in 5 years.
Nice. Right?
So yeah, I do a lot of podcasts. Because you know,
getting back into it after the 9 months last year that I had off.
Yeah. So no, I love that. So okay, so let's dive into how you got to where you are now, because you and I have known each other for 2-ish. Years, I think, oh my God, now. Yeah. And I did not know you had almost died 7 times. So let's dig into your history. How did you get to where you are? And please do not skim over this really important piece of information, because I'm sure it's part of your story anyway.
Much is part of my story. So we're going to like lightly touch on the 7 different times I've almost died. And then I'll pinpoint the one that is actually the root of my business. Oh. So when I was 2, it was the first time I almost died. I wanted to be a hungry, hungry hippo. So I ate a marble with the babysitter asleep on the couch and my 5-year-old brother playing with me. He saw me go purple and he pounded on my back. Like, I still have a bone in my rib that pops out a little bit, but I swallowed the marble. I'm fine. So that was time number 1. Time number 2, my daycare, we were out for a walk, and you know, the rope that you have to grab onto.
Yeah.
I saw the hospital across the highway. And I thought that day that my mom was in the hospital. So I let go of the rope. I walked across 4 lanes of traffic as a 4-year-old. And the daycare provider, right before a car hit me, like grabbed me and pulled me from out in front of the car. So that was time number 2.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Time number 3, the next few are kind of, I don't remember which happened first, but I'm pretty sure it was this way. So time number 3, I was in a car accident. Like wintertime, slush, horrible. Okay. You can't really deal with slush. One side is a cliff like horrible mountainous cliff. And the other side was just a really deep ditch with lots of snow. So we almost went off the cliff multiple times. Last second, we turned around and went into the ditch and we were like over sideways with the car. So that was number three. Number four, you know how you're a teenager and you think that you're adult enough to handle things? No. So me and my friend, we wanted to go swimming. My parents weren't home. There was two of us. We were teenagers, like 14. You're teenagers. You think you're mature enough to go swimming by yourself. You're not alone. You're with a friend. I thought it would be a great idea to jump into the middle of, you know, the bubble wrap type stuff they have on the top of the pool. Yeah. Little did I know what happens is you sink and everything wraps around you and pulls you under. Don't do it. Okay. So like at that time I was training myself to hold my breath. So I held my breath for almost a whole minute under the water. And I just had like two hands to get to the edge of the pool so that my friend could pull the wrapper and have my head above the water again. So that was number four. Number five was my milestone moment. So after all those cool little stories, number five was my milestone moment because this was the first time it was my choice. I give you a warning to your audience. Like if this is not your thing, like skip a couple minutes. And if you're open to it, then you can listen for the next couple minutes. So when I was in grade nine, there were a lot of changes happening in my life. Like my whole identity shifted. My brother, who was my best friend at that point, had left to go to university. The guy that I had liked for 6 years told me no publicly a year before, like right before the end of the year. All of my girlfriends rejected me and we switched schools. I was no longer on the jungle gym, like just everything crashed and burned. So because of all of that rejection, I was like, what's the point? Why am I still here? I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel connected. And that's the key part here is that I didn't feel connected, even though I was surrounded by people that loved me. I didn't feel it. Okay. So then I attempted suicide in grade nine. I actually tried to drown myself in the tub. It was the thing that I had feared the most.
Oh.
Just because it was just trying to get some sort of emotion to come up. Because at that point, I was numb. And in the last book that I wrote, the second one that became an international bestseller, I was talking about this in more detail. And really what that looked like was I needed to surrender to that moment. Mm-hmm. Because I was a straight A student. I had never failed at anything. And I'm sitting in the tub and I realize I failed at the only thing that I wanted to do left. And I went, well, shit. And that was my moment of surrender because couldn't get any lower than that. Mm-hmm. My way out didn't work. What now? Well, whatever. Like life, just do what you need to do. But it was that moment of surrender that opened me up to seeing things differently and to seeing how other people would react. And I got to the point where it's like, look, I can't stay here. I can't be here forever. So what were the things that I used to do that made me happy? What were the things that used to bring me joy? What were the things that used to make me feel connected and loved and all of those things that we want? And then there's the sixth time and the seventh time that I almost died, but they're also connected. So like, as I'm going through that, it's grade nine. I met my husband at that point, slightly after, and I thought I'd die alone. You know, that whole story that goes with it. But mental health since that point was always an issue for me, back and forth. The sixth time I almost died was a bicycle accident when my daughter was 17 months old, which is where the story of the Good Day Cookie comes in. Because it's a tool that she used to help me with my mental health when she was 2 years old, two or three, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, it was adorable. But for her to be my caretaker when she's just a kid, like a toddler, that's not fair. but I was in a bicycle accident. I couldn't feed myself, couldn't dress myself, couldn't use the bathroom myself. And my husband had to do all of that. So that's how I know he loves me. Right. But it was PTSD for the second time. It was physical issues, mental issues, emotional issues. I got laid off from my job about a year later. Oh, yeah. Like, again, this was the second spiral of my life. And it got to the point where people asked me to apply for their jobs. I used to be in architecture. I did that for 15 years. But the way that I did architecture was, how do I change human behavior without them knowing? By designing a space, right? Ooh. So it's a human habit and wellness in architectural design. Loved that. So then I took those skills as I left, right? That sixth time of almost dying was the shock that I needed to go back to that moment of the fifth time of surrendering. It's like, look, life is telling you, you said something and you're not going along with that. And we've been with you for this little while and we've given you hints and you're still not listening. Well, we need to just literally give you a smack in the face or in the body to just be like, listen, things need to change.
Yeah.
So that was the sixth time and things did change. I started my own business. I always dreamt of being an entrepreneur and I never knew what that meant until I became an entrepreneur. Oh my God. Shock of that. And then the seventh time was once I started my own business, started to get a little bit of traction. It's something that scared my husband a lot. Mm. And so there was a lot of like separation between the two of us. And like things had happened where I was finding support elsewhere. I became best friends with somebody else. I would talk to them all the time about my business and we would hang out all the time until, again, warning, this is not your thing. Mm-hmm. Skip a couple of minutes. This is intense. Okay. So my best friend betrayed my trust.
Mm.
And what happened was things got too close. I didn't expect. And it got to the point where he wanted to rape me. And so I knew in that moment that like this friendship is over. My support system is over. My best friend can't be my best friend anymore. And then it got to the point of almost getting divorced, like not working in my business for a year and a half because of mental health, PTSD, depression, all of that. And I'm a touchy person. Like I love to snuggle. And I know if I ever meet you in person, I'm totally just going to like snuggle right up to you.
Yeah.
But I had no physical affection from anyone, anywhere. At that point, my daughter hated me. My husband didn't like me. My family didn't talk to me. I had no friends really at that point. It was a lonely existence. And I saw and felt myself going back to those thoughts and emotions of grade 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, nope, I know where that leads. I know where that leads, never again. So I spent every single penny except for one that was in my bank account, everything. I drained my business account. I went to a local retreat to just do something, anything to help my mental health. And that was the moment where I started to shift.
Mm.
It's like, I just needed something.
Good for you for recognizing that.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey of learning about happiness and what connection really means. And the big lesson here, especially for your listeners, okay? The big lesson in all these times that I almost died was that it wasn't what the exterior world was doing to me. It's what I was already doing in my interior world that was then eventually reflected in my exterior world.
Mm.
So those friends that rejected me, I rejected me first. I did those things. Yeah. And that's the hard, ugly truth of it. But yeah, think about those types of things that happen in your life. Oh, I have a failed business. Well, where did you fail inside yourself to love yourself, to respect yourself, to value yourself? Same thing with, okay, one of the things I'm known for is calling BS on the whole know, like, and trust. It's something that we all use as business owners, but there's that separation. that we're talking about here. It's if I don't get to know, like, and trust me, will your audience really know, like, and trust you? Mm. Or if there's a part of you that you're hiding because it's ugly, or because it's uncomfortable, then how are they supposed to get to know, like, and trust you when you're not willing to get to know, like, and trust that?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. It's like a punch to the gut. But yeah. Here's the thing, okay? There is so much love and joy and sparkle there if we just look.
Good God, I didn't know I was having therapy today.
I need you to shake it off right now. And if you have water, I encourage you to drink some water because that is really heavy. I am a very deep person.
Yeah.
But I balance that with being very playful.
Yeah.
So I also understand, like, when I have these types of conversations, it can get really low and enclosed. Just remember, bounce back. That's not reality right now. We're here. We're loving. We're having a conversation.
Yes, absolutely. No, I thank you for sharing that part, because the one thing that I've known about you for a while now is your mess to message line, right? Because yes. I just didn't know what your mess was. And now we know. Right? Yeah. And you've begun to introduce us to the message piece, right? Because what I know you do with the people who you work with is help them find what that is, take that messy part of their, what they think they have to hide. They think they have to, you know, oh, I can't let people see that, because if they do, then they won't do business with me. They won't hang out with me. They won't, right? And you help them shift that mess.
Yes.
Into their message. So obviously this came from your own mess.
Of course. Yeah.
The message, right? And so if you can give us like the 30,000 foot overview, like I don't want all the details of how to do this, because I know you work with people very closely and they pay good money to get to do this with you. But what does that kind of look like to go through, and why do people want to take their mess and turn it into their message? What outcomes are your clients getting from participating in this process and putting that out there?
Now's where the prompt gets involved. Okay, so the 30,000 foot view here is that the way that we are currently marketing and doing business and having conversations is this whole idea of finding clients. Like, they're just magical beings where you're like, go shopping and I'm just going to pick them off the shelf. There are such a few percentage of people who are actually ready, that usually they've already done the beginning stuff. Some of them might be beyond you, who knows? Right. But there's such a small percentage of people who are ready. Then there's a bigger percentage of people who are ready to be ready. And then there's a huge percentage of people who hide. Mm. And I'll explain this as an analogy, because I'm visual and I love that stuff. So I call it the deer analogy. The deer are in the field. You can see them. There's like fruit and vegetables and whatever else hunters or farmers put out there. That's why they're in the field. There's bounty there. So, but very few of them are brave enough to go, especially during the day. Mm-hmm. Like when people can see them, it's rare, but there are very few. Then you see the deer on the edge of the woods. There's more of them there. They're not quite ready. But the marketers will see, and business people will see the deer in the field and they're like, oh, that's mine. And that's mine. And that's mine. And that's why it feels like a pie where you want a piece of the pie. But then there's the deer on the side, but it takes work to go over there and to talk to them and to entice them out into the field. This is where social media comes in a lot, is you create posts to be like, hey, come on over. And then when they come in the field, you're like, ha ha ha, you're mine. But what about all of those deer that are hiding in the woods?
Mm. Okay.
When we use our stories to identify where the deer are hiding. The deer are the people, right? They're your ideal right. clients, in case right. you didn't get that part. When you use your story to identify where they're hiding or to identify them without calling them out, this is the difference. We're not shaming them. Mm-hmm. We are empowering them. We're giving them the choice. So here's what it looks like. I'm walking through the woods, and my dad taught me that when you're deer hunting, because we're from the country, and oh my God, deer stew, delicious. When you go hunting and you're in the woods and you're looking for a deer, mm-hmm. you never see the deer. It's so rare to see the whole deer. So he's like, look for the birds. And really what you're doing is you're looking for small movements within the trees. Because you might see an ear, you might see a tail, you might see an antler, you might see a hoof. You don't see the whole deer, right? So if I'm walking through the woods and I can see the birds, I can see the small movements, then I can say, when I do see the deer and it thinks it's hiding, just like our clients, they think they're hiding in desperation mode. I can see your purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe socks. I can see your purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe socks. There is no way that I made that up.
Right.
If, like, when you're hiding in the woods and I say that out loud, I don't even have to be looking at you. You're like, oh gosh, she saw me. There's no way she made that up and got it right.
Right. And for those of you
doing with our stories,
I love this. And for those of you who are listening right now, when she said purple fuzzy Care Bear toe socks,
she
literally and they've got stickies on the bottom. She held up socks that are purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe socks. So they've got the little stickies on the bottom so that you don't slip and slide around on the floor. Oh my gosh. And so what's fun is anybody who has those right now at home is like,
they're from the 90s. So
somebody might still have them.
Somebody might. Yeah.
You never know. I quick side tangent story on that.
Yeah.
One of the first times I went, not one of the first times, a few years ago, I went to Vegas and my kids were old enough to start asking for, hey, mom, while you're there, would you pick something up?
Oh, yeah.
And one of my kids goes, I want rainbow unicorn Vegas socks. And I was like, okay, honey, I'll try my best to find rainbow unicorn Vegas socks. By God, guess what they had at one of the gift shops? Rainbow unicorn Vegas socks.
Sold.
Like, I was like, hurry up and grab them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like this kid manifested an actual thing. Yeah. So cool. Anyway, so you held up the toe socks there for everybody.
The purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe sock. I used it as a way of just being able to come up with a rhyme mm-hmm. that was a tongue twister. Purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe socks. Purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe socks. Purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe socks. So to say it really quickly is really difficult. And I did that on purpose.
I love
it. But really, okay. So what we're doing with the purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe socks is that is just a metaphor for what is it in your story that is so unique and such a gem that the only people who can identify such things are the ones who have been there before or have the same thing, right? Yeah. Which requires that personal experience. But it's very uncomfortable to go into the woods. It's very uncomfortable to put yourself out there and look for those things within yourself first, right? Because that's how you know where the deer hide.
Mm-hmm.
Deer don't hide in the river. Deer don't hide in a field or in a clearing in the middle of the woods. They tend to hide in little lulls.
Mm.
Right? So if you've never searched for a deer, if you've never been there and seen where they actually sleep or hide from storms, how do you know? Did somebody tell you? But if you walk through the woods, are you going to find it? These are those gems that I'm talking about in the storytelling, is they are so personal. You can't really Google these things. You can't ask AI about these things. That's what people gravitate to. And then when you talk about that and you share that, again, without shaming them, but by empowering them instead, with that empathy and compassion, oh my God, people love you because now it's their choice. Choice. It's so important. I don't want to feel icky. I never want to feel icky.
Right.
I want it to be about love and support. It's like, look, I'm here playing. And that's what we do in the woods. Once we say, I see your purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe socks. I'm headed to a field where there's some corn and some apples. Do you want to come with me? And I don't necessarily have to look at the deer. They already know I'm talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm going this way and here's where I'm going. If you'd like to come with me, I'm headed out in a couple minutes. And you know where to find me at all times. And I still care that you're here and I'll come visit. And I'll go back and forth. I'm willing, as I think it was Brené Brown said, I'm willing to get in the muck with you.
Mm.
And I'm willing to listen and I'm willing to see. And from that space, when you're ready at your time, I'll be here. I'll still be here.
Mm.
Like, how different does that feel? Instead of, buy my stuff. Nice to meet you. Marry me. Like, oh, those things.
Yeah.
Oh, that was my favorite. I can't remember who explained that to me one day, but you know, you get those cold DMs.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like, hi, I'm so-and-so. I work for such and such business. Here's my offer. And like, I don't even know where you came from.
Yeah.
But it feels like you met somebody at the bus stop and they're like, hi, nice to meet you. Marry me. They don't even know your name.
Mm-hmm.
What you like, you don't know if we're a match. There's a whole other layer to that. So but that's what it feels like.
Yeah. Most other marketing is very much like that. Instead of being the, hey, here's what I've been through. Here's my experience.
Yeah.
So I've been through this and you know, that's the type of marketing that works because it's sharing who you are and people then can attach to that, right? Because they're attracted to the authenticity and sharing that out, right?
Yeah. Do you want to add another layer to all of this?
Yes, please.
Okay. So there's a lot of conversation around storytelling, and storytelling is wonderful. And if you don't know why storytelling is wonderful, I know that you do. You're amazing, Jenny. I love you. But for your audience, if you don't know why storytelling is so amazing, it's because it takes all of your senses, puts them together in a harmonious pattern that is easy for your brain and body to recognize and remember.
Mm.
And I will remind you and me and everybody listening as well that most communication is nonverbal.
Yes.
Nonverbal. So then what are people wearing? What are their facial expressions? How are they walking? How are they moving and interacting? What are they writing on social media? Is there consistency, authenticity, through all of that so that I can feel like this person is safe?
Mm.
And if they can see themselves within that safe version of this person that they're trying to connect with, that is that foundation, that deer in the woods that we're not calling out, not personally, we're calling out a behavior. This is the difference between shame and empowerment. Shame is calling out the person. Empowerment is shaving out, is calling out the behavior,
mm-hmm.
right? It's that disconnect that makes them feel safe and that it's their choice.
Mm.
Yeah. So then when I talk about storytelling, and we just talked about the deer analogy, that 30,000 foot view, it's really to say, what is it about your story that isn't just actions and result? That's where people tend to get stuck. Here's what I did, and here are the results that I got, and here's why it's amazing, and the benefits of the benefits. Okay, but to go deeper, right, to go into those woods and into the muck with people with empathy, it's, well, what inspired you to take those actions? What inspired you to desire those results?
Mm.
And most of the time, it's an emotion, not data, not logic. Data and logic are weighed by emotion. So if you don't know the emotions that weigh your data, then you don't know the emotions that drive your behaviors, that drive your desires. So then if you create a goal that isn't aligned with your desires, and completely goes against your behaviors, well, no wonder you're not reaching your goals. Like, there's so many layers to this. So then when I talk about storytelling, and I really want people to go deeper within themselves, like I shared earlier, and ask yourself, what are those emotions that drove me, that inspired me to get out of those deep, dark struggle moments? Yeah. Because then it doesn't matter if you haven't been in a bicycle accident. You're like, oh, I remember a moment where I needed to surrender. Or I remember a moment where I felt depressed and like the world was ending.
Yeah.
I remember a moment where I felt so unloved that I couldn't even love myself. And now, automatically, naturally, you're adding your own story to layer with mine. And you're the one making the connection. I'm just the one setting it up. Mm-hmm. Because I have learned to set it up in a way that you can bridge that gap so easily, that it's not this big jump and this big bridge that you have to build. I love visuals. So I imagine people, when I look in their eyes, I read eyes too. There's so much here. Oh, yeah. Like, I see the walls in our mind and in our brain. And I like to think of taking down those walls as not bashing them down, but brick by brick, taking those walls down, building a bridge with them. Uh-huh. And so I like sustainability. So
yes.
Reuse all this stuff. So break down those walls, use the same bricks to build bridges. But that takes a lot of work and effort and energy and planning. And so in my mind, what I do with my storytelling is, how can I make that gap so small that people can just walk over? Or I can reach out my hand and go, I got you. You can take the small leap. And then you can watch as people jump and take your hand. And it's so beautiful and amazing.
Well, I know that feeling, because I've had that experience before, and it wasn't necessarily an intentional one, right? It was a situation where somebody found me. One of my clients found me because she went to Google and she typed in ADHD and direct sales, because she had recently been diagnosed with ADHD.
Yeah.
And she had, at the time, was working with a different coach. And when she shared the diagnosis, the coach basically shamed her, saying, you're using this as an excuse. This is, you know, this is why you're not getting anything done. You're using it to not do the things, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so she went to look up ADHD and direct sales, and Google showed her my Facebook profile, because what does Jenny talk about? ADHD and direct sales all the time, right? And because of that, she found one of my resources. She went and downloaded it, loved it, reached out to me, and then she shared her story. Like, and I remember getting the email. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I was already in bed, but I like to clear my phone of all the notifications before I go to bed. Because then I just know, okay, I can sleep now, because I don't have
exactly
a bunch of red dots on my phone, right?
Yeah.
iPhone users know what I'm talking about. And I remember opening that email and reading, she just shared her entire story. And by the end of it, I'm bawling, like literally just tears going, oh my God, I know that feeling. I know that feeling. Yeah. I had teachers say it to me so many times, even though I wasn't diagnosed with ADHD. Oh, you're using that thing as an excuse, or you don't really forget that much. You're too smart for that, blah, blah, like all the ADHD things, right?
Yes.
Every one of them came up for me in that moment. I was like, oh my God. So I immediately reached back out to her and said, I want to have a session with you at absolutely no charge to you. Because I want to validate that not everybody feels that way. And I this is not a pitch session. I am not going to try and sell you anything. I just want to offer services in this session to say, look, not everybody feels this way about it. And we had a session. By the end of it, she was like, okay, we need to work.
It's like just pouring out of your heart. If I may give you something, as well as your audience, something that means so much to me and is relevant for every single business, no matter what you're doing, direct sales, entrepreneurship, who cares? My definition of business is human beings, helping other human beings to be the human beings that they want to become. Plain, simple, easy. And so when you see that definition, you can see how those heart-centered entrepreneurs finally feel like they have a space to be badass at business and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just posted a reel, I think it was last week, about catching myself in old habits and old mindsets of me saying, I help people. It's like, oh, Laura, no, don't do that. I was a volunteer in my business for about 7 years.
Oh.
Well, it was absolutely horrible. I know better now.
Yeah.
But back then it was, I help. And so I spent most of my time doing one-on-one calls with people, just having conversations, and never had time to do anything else.
Mm.
Now that I've really embodied that definition, and I'll say it again, human beings helping other human beings to be the human beings that they want to become. That just feels so good inside and out. So yeah. Now I can look at my business and I go, yeah, I can help facilitate that.
Yes.
I like to service. I like contribution. Like, what other words can I use that also can have the connotation of money?
Mm.
Because money, I'm reminding us, dear audience, like, money is the energy of love, appreciation, and gratitude. It's people saying, oh my God, yes, like, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've actually started putting notifications on my phone like twice a day at 10:30 in the morning. I have a little notification that pops up that says, money loves me.
Mm.
And then at like 2 minutes to 2, right before my daughter gets home from school, I have a sound notification of like counting dollar bill type money, like paper money, uh-huh. that says, I love money. So it's that relationship of back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah. Because like, I'm allowed to receive love too. And if I say that I'm going to help people, I'm refusing the abundance method of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I need that. I need to pay bills. I need to eat. I'm worth that. So are you. You are worth that. I want to give you love. I want to give you appreciation. I want to give you gratitude.
Mm. Yeah. I love that. Because, and the worst thing is that if you end up out of, if you end up out of business,
yeah,
because you weren't getting paid, you can no longer offer the opportunity to help human beings become the human being they were meant to be.
I got back into our stories for a moment. I'm going to get all excited. I'm already excited because I just love you. Let's dive back into our stories. Those mess-to-message type entrepreneurs, those mm-hmm. storytellers, you're in business because of something that happened to you, some sort of mess, or the way that you do business is because some sort of mess in and around you or your space. Okay.
Right.
That's what mess to message really is we take that ugliness and we turn it into something that is magical. If we keep the mindset of I help, I volunteer in your business, then what you're saying is that my message and me and people like that old version of me in the middle of my mess are not worth it. Oh, and then we feel it in our gut again. Okay, let's bring that back to the know, like, and trust.
Mm.
We touched on that earlier. This is a tangible piece I need you guys to take away. Know, like, and trust. Here's what it feels like for your audience if you're just focused on that. Jenny, I want you to get to know me and get to like me and get to trust me. Me. How do you feel?
Mm.
Pretty crappy, don't you?
Yeah, it's not fun. Yeah,
it's not fun, not at all. But I'm being extreme and I'm exaggerating, but that's how people feel, especially when they're not in that ready phase or the ready to be ready phase, okay? The people hiding in the woods, they tend to be in that lower energetic, that lower emotional field. And so they will take everything that you do and say, especially the nonverbal, I'm tying it all in right now,
mm-hmm.
especially the nonverbal, as something that meets their lower vibration and negativity, no matter how much of a positive spin you want to take on it. So if you just take the no, like, and trust, me, just at face value, that's what you're saying to those people.
Right.
So how do we shift that? Right. How do we go from finding clients to what I call creating clients? It really is that journey. I know, like, wait, we could just create. Yeah, it takes a little more work and it takes a lot more courage, which is why people don't do it. But what that looks like is, okay, again, if you're my ideal client, my audience, what I'm saying is, as a mess-to-message solopreneur, I have gotten to know, like, and trust that old version of me that was struggling, complete with arm flailing behind me. I'm pretty sure that was on the listening version of the podcast, okay? That old version of me. I have gotten to know them deeply. I've gotten to like and love them as they are without needing to change. I have learned to trust them, again, as they are without needing to change, because they are badass people too, but in a bad spot and just need a little support. Like, they got this, okay? So that's the first step, is me getting to know, like, and trust myself, both today and in that old version. So step one is today, because it's nice and easy. Mm-hmm. Step two is that old version of us, the struggled version of us in those deep, dark moments. And then from that space, I have now created a safe space for me, foundation for me, for which I can stand firmly and confidently. From that space, I can reach out to other people through my story, which we talked about, through the emotional dips. And if you've never heard of the dip, it's kind of like the hero's journey for storytelling. It's a structure for story, only a lot simpler and easier to tell people. The emotional dip that goes with that is that fire, that gem, that empathy piece that gets into the muck, that goes into the woods and helps you identify where the deer are hiding. As I hold up my purple fuzzy Care Bear Sticky Toe Socks as a reminder for our stories.
Yeah.
And then from that space saying, okay, I've gotten to know, like, and trust me as I am. I've gotten to know, like, and trust the old version of me as they were without change. I will keep putting that in there without asking them to change. So from there, I am getting to know, like, and trust my ideal audience as a reflection of that old version of me in the pit of the struggle. Because those are the people that we're trying to help, is actually the past version of us as mess-to-message solopreneurs. Not every entrepreneur, right. But as mess-to-message entrepreneurs, you're really trying to help and save and protect that old version of you. Sooner you recognize that, the easier business will be. And as soon as you recognize that old version of you and love that old version of you, the more you can recognize and love your audience.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Now that they're feeling loved and supported and appreciated through the value that you're sharing with them, they want to give that back to you. And through that process, they're learning how to get to know, like, and trust themselves. You're not asking that of them. You were giving them space to learn how to do that through your example. Doesn't that feel different?
Beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Juicy. That's the snippet that you guys need to take. There are lots of those, but that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful one. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Oh my gosh. And
you
this
feel
is,
it?
Yes. It is incredibly powerful because, you know, for 7-ish years now in my coaching business, I've known on an intellectual level that the people that I'm helping, the clients who come to me, are the clients who were a version of me in the past.
Yes. Yes.
But I didn't have that emotional pain.
I know, right? So then, like, the type of work that I do, I love, because concepts, when they involve many different things, I love patterns. I didn't know this until grade 2 when, like, I was smart. Okay. I was also really bored because I was done really quickly. So my teacher used to just send me to the, it was like a piece of molding. Take that up at about chest height. And she's like, just go make patterns with all the toys. I would make patterns with every single toy that was there. It was over 500 little toys. And I filled two walls after a test because you have to be quiet.
Yeah.
And I already read all the books she gave me and did all the extra work sheets that she gave me.
Oh my goodness.
So like I was a bit of a trouble child, but that's okay. Because those skills of learning patterns at an early age are some of the things that make me so good as a coach today. So good. Yeah.
I love that. Fan-freaking-tastic. Okay.
Yeah. So if you can take all of this mass data for people and simplify it and find the patterns in it, because it is very personal when it comes to stories and emotions, right? If you can simplify that for people, that's the magic. I'm not a do-it-for-you type business. I don't have physical products. I'm a service-based business that involves other human beings, which means it needs to be highly personalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And given that, we totally could talk forever. And I know we're going to have you back to talk again to go deeper into this. And because you have brilliance, you said earlier a few minutes ago, it was really smart. No, you're not was really smart. You said you are really smart.
My
still.
Apologies.
You know?
Yes.
You are
edit
still
your words.
Brilliant. Okay. And you are also incredibly generous because as you and I were talking in the pre-interview, what you've put together for the Badass Crew, my fabulous audience of listeners, and now on YouTube, is an opportunity to get to work with you. So you have
one on one,
and you have something called the story sessions.
Yeah.
So tell us about your story sessions and what is the opportunity that you have for the Badass Crew today?
Ooh, okay. So story sessions were basically demanded of me by my audience and past clients. They're like, you really need to have something where we can have a conversation and just like spill out our story to you. Because most of the time there's a lot of emotions and trauma that's a part of that.
Yeah.
And as soon as you ask somebody about their story, it can easily be an hour later before they're done, just like verbal diarrhea. So in a story session, I give you 5 minutes to tell me your story. It usually goes to 10, but I tell them 5 minutes knowing that they're going to go over. Because I love people. It's great. But then from there, what we're doing is we're really asking you, what are those gems that can tell those deer hiding in the woods, those clients that you're looking to find and create? Okay. Here, I can see your purple fuzzy Care Bear sticky toe socks. Bringing up all the references, which is really saying, like, what is it that is a part of my story and yours that is emotionally based, not just about the actions and results? So when you tell me your story, you're going to tell me the actions and results, because that's what everybody does. Most people think that they just need help sharing or converting. Those are other story sessions. I love people because they think they have their story. They really don't. So we dive deeper into the emotions that drive your actions, the emotions that drive your desires. And same thing with your clients. What is that emotional thread, that emotional dip that follows you, not just in your big trauma story or in your mess story, because not everybody has big T trauma, but little T trauma.
Yeah.
What is that story that also continued to play out? And that's that pattern that we're looking for. So you tell me your story and I give you feedback based on what I hear, just so I make sure that I get all of the information correct.
Right.
And then I get to share with you the things that I heard that you didn't say.
That's fantastic.
And then I ask a lot of hard questions about those milestone moments to really dig deep and get clear. on what it is that you need to share with people, but not necessarily verbalize with people.
Mm-hmm.
So when I shared with my story, did you know that it was a story about rejection to connection?
Now
you do.
Now I do. It makes sense now. But at the time, not necessarily. No.
Yeah. So my clients are almost always rejection to connection or something along those words. It's the same type of energy.
Oh, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Verbalize that. If I show that and I give examples of that through my stories, you're connecting with it without me having to say it. These are the types of things that I want to do with people with their stories. To elevate them from where they already are to not just find clients, but create them.
Yes.
So now you, no matter what 50 different tools or 100 different titles you have for yourself, where are my multi-passionate entrepreneurs?
Oh, right? They're raising their hands, right?
Oh, yes. Instead of trying to market to one of those or two of those in hopes that somebody will get you, what we're doing is we're creating that thread. We're creating that consistency behind anything you've ever chosen, anything you will choose in the future. So the consistency is the emotion and the emotional journey that you've gone through and continue to up-level, not the skills that you have.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Oh, yeah, that's the juicy part. So that's really what we do in a story session. So now you can use that on your social media. You can use it on a podcast or on stage. As long as whatever you're talking about has that undertone of your emotional thread, you're good.
It. And so what you're offering to the Badass Crew is you do a scholarship where you offer the opportunity for somebody to do one-on-one with you this story session.
Yeah.
And you do it a few times throughout the year, right?
Yes.
So the link that we're putting in the show notes is the opportunity for any and all Badass Crew members to go sign up to apply for the scholarship. And every time she opens it up for another round, your name stays in the list to win and earn that scholarship. So go to the show notes. For those of you who are longtime listeners, you know exactly what to do, how to get there. But just in case this is your very first time ever listening to the Badass Direct Sales Mastery podcast and you're like, show notes, what are those? How do I find this? All you're going to do is grab your phone, assuming you're listening on a phone, click on today's episode, scroll down below Laura's beautiful picture, and you will see show notes, which include the story session scholarship link directly where you can go fill out the form and be a part of the drawing to get this at no charge to you and be able to get the benefit from this. So Laura, and then of course, if you're watching on YouTube, just look below the video, right? Like right down here. Right down here in the description, right there. Do you see it? Do you see the giant link right there? That's the link for sure for Laura's application for the scholarship. So Laura, in case they want to reach out to you because they're like, yes, I want the scholarship. And I also want to get to know you more and I want to learn more about this. And how would you like them to reach out to you to connect with you?
Oh, definitely. Best way to reach out to me and my favorite way is actually through Facebook Messenger. Just because I get a ding on my phone and I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, it can get lost. So
there you go. So, of course, down in the show notes and down in the description, we've got her links to all her social media. Connect with her through Facebook if you're a Facebook person. Find her on Facebook Messenger and shoot her a quick message and say, hey, I was just listening to you on the Badass Direct Sales Mastery podcast, or I was watching you on YouTube. Would love to connect with you. And so Laura, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing this with my Badass Crew, because I know this is going to make a really big impact for some people. And you know, I could literally feel the energetic waves happening, even though they haven't listened yet. But when they, like, I'm feeling it now, because that's the thing about the space-time continuum is I know that there's going to be impacts for people. I can feel it now, even though they're not listening to it until like a few or so. Thank you so much, Laura. I so appreciate you. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sending so much love to you and so much love to your listeners. Like, just do something, take action for you, and love, appreciate, value yourself. So Mwah, sending so much love.
What a beautiful way to wrap this up. Thank you so much. And badass crew, you know how this goes. Stay tuned because there's another badass episode on its way.
Thanks for listening to the Badass Direct Sales Mastery Podcast with your direct sales dom, Jenny Bellinger. Why are you waiting to go to badassdirectsalesmastery.com? Don't make the dom get her whip. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with another rock star that you know in direct sales after you subscribe to the podcast so you won't miss any future episodes. You can also check out the show notes for links and any contact information mentioned in today's episode. We'll see you next time.